from tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is a Friday afternoon service on March the 27th, 1998, the spring camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs, Arkansas. The Caulfields will be speaking this afternoon.
We worship you. We thank you. We cannot thank you enough in words, because we are very thankful, very, very, very thankful for all you've done for us and all the places you brought us through when we could not have made it without you. Lord, you are a leader. You lead us, and we want to follow you. Forgive us for not following you explicitly all the time. Lord, just forgive us. Cover us and cleanse us with your precious blood, because many times we've walked our own way and got into serious trouble. Lord, we want to follow you.
Yes,
we want
Lord,
to praise you.
Yes, Lord.
We need more words to adore you, because you brought us up out of that dark pit.
Yes, Lord.
You've cleansed us. You've healed us. You've forgiven us. You've been long-suffering with us. And Lord, we just hold you up in mighty esteem. We worship you. And we praise you.
I wasn't sure who was going to speak this afternoon until I saw who was harnessed up. So I see that Brother Jim's got the harness on. So he's harnessed up, raring to go. He's a workhorse that's been seasoned. And so, Brother Jim Coffey, come and teach us this afternoon.
Praise the Lord. Got your attention? The Lord is so good.
Amen.
All the time.
Amen.
We have new faces here. Most of you know about deliverance. I'm a deliverance preacher, mainly. My wife and myself alternate services in our church. Usually we minister deliverance on Sunday night and Wednesday night. So Sunday morning we preach a word message, a message of kingdom. Usually at night it's a deliverance message. And we alternate back and forth of who preaches. So both of us preach deliverance, and we both preach the kingdom of God. Now, deliverance, let me start first by saying, maybe not all of you know about deliverance, but there is a spiritual world available right here. In fact, it is here. It's not available. It is here. That is more real than the world that you see sitting around you. The spirit is more real. All this is going to pass away. You and I will all, in this form, pass away. Everything this building one day will go. But God's word will never go. And until the day of judgment, Satan's power and strength in this earth will still be here operating. And what we're doing is we're doing warfare against him to put him down now so we can have freedom to walk with the Lord. I tell people all of the time, the only legitimate reason that you have for deliverance, to be set free from the power of the devil, is to serve God. That's your only purpose for being set free. We have people that come in and they want relief. They want to get set free momentarily of something that hinders their life. So that we've had them tell us, so I can get on with my life. Yeah. But you don't get much, or you might get some temporary relief. You just might get some temporary. My God is a gracious God. He just might set you free partially or part-time. I can't answer for what my God will do, all of the wonderful things that he does. But to be set free, you have to want to serve God. You have to be on that track in the Word to serve Him. Now, today we're going to talk about how the enemy attacks. This is one of the areas that he attacks, and of course he attacks in so many different ways it would be impossible to cover everything that he does. But I wanted to talk to you especially about one of the most important parts. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians, 10th chapter, and we'll look at verse 3 and 4 right at the moment. For we walk in the flesh, but we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. See that scripture? Okay, let's do things in right order right now. Heavenly Father, we take time right now to come before You. And we say, Father, we love You. We desire Your Word to be rich within us and to guide us. And not only to guide us, but to be the leading light of our life, that we would follow after You in all that we say and do, Father. We desire to be children of the Most High God, that is, obedient children that will walk in the Spirit and listen to the voice of the Lord. I bind the enemy right now. I bind the enemy in every person here to the sound of My voice. I bind the demons that harass their hearing, that refuse to let them hear, that distract in the name of the Lord Jesus, and I cut off their power from the heavenlies, that they'll not get strength any longer in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, place a hedge round about this place right now in the name of the Lord Jesus, that the enemy will not have dominion or power over it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. It says here that though we walk in the flesh, and you are in the flesh, every one of us, we're in flesh. Face it. We need to walk by the Spirit, but we are in the flesh. This is a fleshly body. And it goes on to say that we do not war after the flesh, but our weapons are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. So, since we are in the flesh and we are walking this earth, but we're going to use some spiritual weapons. Now, if I wanted to knock that wall out, I'd start with probably a piece of machinery or a bunch of hammers or something. I'd go after it. But if I want to tear down something that the enemy's built, I can't do it that way. I can't get a hold of him with my hands. So therefore, I must, by all means, be spiritual to the point that I can call on the Spirit of the living God to reveal unto me. The Spirit of discernment needs to work mightily if you're going to do deliverance. You need to be able to see spiritually what you're fighting. And you say, well, I don't see spiritually. Many people don't. Deliverance workers need to see spiritually, especially if you're going to do deliverance, because you are fighting an unseen enemy. One that we know the Scripture talks about the wiles of the devil. Well, he has many tricks that he's going to use to separate you from your God. So we need to be able to understand what he's trying to do and how to attack him. It goes on in the verse 4, it said, the weapons of warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That word is a, when we say pulling down, we think, well, hey, I'm going to, if I pull a fence down, I'm going to lay it over. But that word really, when you look it up, it means the demolition or the extinction. Boy, it means to really do away with this stronghold. We're going to destroy that stronghold completely. And not only does it mean distinction, it means destruction, but it means with violence. With violence you get in there and destroy it. You're not going to be timid about going into deliverance. You don't have to be afraid. God has already promised you. He has given you authority. Is God's word any good? He says, I give you authority over all the power of the enemy. All the power. That means all that he has. All of his demons. All of the fallen angels. All of Satan himself. You need to have no fear of Satan. If you are walking by the word of the Lord and by his Spirit, by his direction, then you have no need to worry over what Satan's going to do to you. My Lord has given you protection. It's already promised. What He has given us is enough that we don't have to ever give consideration to how we're going to go about this and how it's going to come out. My God's word is true. It's settled in heaven. Already settled. If it's settled, it's coming to pass. You don't have to worry about it, not one bit. But he has already promised and told us these things. Now, when it says a stronghold, what is a stronghold? When you look that word up, it means a castle or an argument. An argument. And they are equally the same. I mean, the same word. It's either a castle or an argument. And he will demolish either a castle, if necessary, or an argument that these demons are putting up. Now, we're going to talk about the stronghold, and the stronghold that I'm going to talk about is this one up here. This is where it's at. This is where the demon is attacking. Now, there are different types, of course. They attack your body in many ways. There are sicknesses and there are things that happen to our bodies that they attack. But the real strongholds that the demon has is here in our mind. So this is where we're speaking today, and this is what we're looking at primarily as we talk today, is about this stronghold in my mind and in your mind. Now, do you believe there are demons to start with? Do you really know for a fact that there are demons?
Sure.
Do you know that they will enter into you? Not me. Oh, no, I am saved gloriously. They're not going to touch me. That's a trick of the devil. All you have to do is start sinning, breaking God's law, and you make an opening to be under attack by the enemy. And when the time is right and when you have sinned to the right point in that particular demon, he will slip right into you. In me? Yes, in me and you. He will come in. He will attack you. And maybe necessarily the moment he comes in. He might lay there dormant for a while, gaining strength as you open the door and he brings in here one and one from over here, another here when you sin. And you say, I don't sin? Oh, you liar. That's what the Bible said. It said you're a liar if you say you don't sin. So we know that we do. We know that we open ourselves. And we know that the demons are there. So why don't we know that we're receiving these things from the enemy? Now, we need to know how to fight them. We need to know that we have authority to go after them and to take control of them. Let's look to be sure where they attack. Go with me to Matthew. Let's look Mark, though. Let's look at Mark. I believe I'd rather use Mark 5. I believe it's the one that I don't believe that's where it is. Yes, Mark 5. Very familiar story. I'm not going to read this account to you today about all of it, but I want to start at the very beginning of it in chapter 5. And Jesus has come over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that when they had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Man had a problem, didn't he?
He sure did.
Now, he really had... You don't act like that. This man was a man that was born just as you were born. He had a body. He had a soul. He had a spirit, just like you have, but yet he couldn't live with other people he was into. Something had affected that man. Where did it affect him? Right up here in his mind. His mind was affected by something. And, of course, you know the rest of it. I better tell you right away, though, that the reason he got free was he fell down and he worshipped.
He met Jesus
and he worshipped him. He fell down and worshipped. And you and I have to come to that same place to worship our Lord if we want to be set free.
Amen.
And it's not just a thing of coming and say, set me free from this thing. It worries me. Get this thing off of me. I need to go on with living. And I can't do it with this thing bothering me. No, that's not the way we go. We have to know who our Lord is, that we have set our our sights on the Lord and all of our being to serve our God and everything that is within us to serve Him. And then God will meet you wherever you are. Didn't He meet you in salvation when you were yet a sinner?
Yes.
When you had no right to the things of the Lord, yet He loved you, He brought you in, and He began to feed you. Well, deliverance is the same way. He takes you right where you are when you are serving Him, and He works from that point on, and He'll set you free.
Yes.
I honestly believe with everything in me that my God will set every person here free when we set our hearts on serving God.
Amen.
And we'll have no problem with it. So, this man's problem was that his mind had come into real problems. In Matthew, in the 17th chapter, we'll see another such thing. Matthew 17, I want to read just a couple of verses of Scripture on this. Another, a very familiar thing that Jesus told. They had been up on the mountain, the Mount of Transfiguration, as we describe it today. And when He came down, there met Him a father. And in 17 verse, verse 15, the man approached Jesus and said, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oftentimes he falleth into the fire and oftentimes into the water." Why? Why would that child be there? He said he's a lunatic. What is a lunatic? Did you look that word up? It just means crazy. It means crazy. Your mind has been affected, and it is not a, in this case, in those cases that I'm talking about, it is not a sickness, it's not disease, it is the movement of the enemy into the mighty, taking control. Many of you here have seen manifestations in people. Some of you have seen some hard manifestations of demonic power in people. You've heard the screams. You've heard the people shout out at you. You've heard them use language that is so uncommon to our ears that it just tears us apart to hear people speak like this. They use very vulgar language. I know Brother here, Glenn, has heard it many times. I'm sure he has. We hear it fairly often when we manifest a demon. And they don't mind cursing you. They don't mind calling you names. They don't mind spitting on you. They don't mind biting you. Anything to get you from trying to set them out of a person or releasing them from a person. They will do anything under the sun that they can to get you to stop. And this is a demon at work. And the mind, they take over the mind, and it is not the person that we're dealing with. That's not the person that we're dealing with. We're dealing with the demon in the person. And this is who we talk to or when we call out. We call the demon out. We don't talk and we don't come against that person. That's not who we're after. That person is loved by God. God loves that person. And even though they have gotten themselves in this... pardon me. They've gotten themselves in this position... God still loves them. So we deal with the spirit itself, the demon. Now, how do you deal? What kind of a weapon do you use? If you've got something you can't see, you can't get in your hands, what do you use? Well, we've got the most powerful weapons that you've ever seen. First of all, we've got the Word of God. We've got God's Word here. The Word that is truth. It is the ultimate truth. The ultimate truth in this world. And, well, if I've got it, what did I do with it? What does the Word do? Well, I've got to know. I've got to know this Word. I've had to not put it up here. When I was a child, I memorized. You know, I learned Scripture. I can still quote you. Even at my age, I can still quote you Scriptures that I learned when I was 10 and 12 years old. I can quote you the whole chapters in some cases. And when I learned those, they didn't mean anything to me. I could say the words, but they didn't really mean anything to me. When I started walking with the Lord, first I got saved, and you know, some of it came alive. But when I was baptized in the Spirit, that word came alive.
Yes,
And I understood then why those words were very important and why they're important today to you and to I. So we have that word. We need to know that word. We need to know the promises God has made to us. We need to know His love for us. And we need to know His power. Now that's all that's the word, what the main things that we have to understand about the word. Then we have the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Now, this is our tool that we use when we call out a demon. It's in the name of Jesus is the authority that you have to go. The power. That is the power that moves the demon. They know who Jesus is. They know Him better than you know Him in most cases. They are well aware of who He is. And I have scriptures that says they have to go. Every knee shall bow, it says, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Of beings in heaven, of beings in the earth, and beings down under the earth are all going to bow their knees to my Lord. The day is coming, people, and He's given you authority. And God's people, doesn't it tell you that, don't you know that you are going to judge angels?
Yes, sir. Judge the world and angels.
Right. So we have some kind of authority here. We look at ourselves in a way that we think that, hey, I can't really do a whole lot with this. But we do have authority.
Amen.
You know, you also have something else. You have the blood of Jesus. The blood, that shows the love, and you'd be surprised how much authority and power and strength the love of God has. You don't see that in the natural, when you look at the natural. Who else would die for you? Who would die for you? Take your place when we were worthless. For truly, that's what we were. We were sinners. And He died for us dead. So it shows there the love of God. Now there's one more thing I added in here. That's your desire to serve God.
Yes.
And if you don't desire to serve God, all of this other is foolishness. You just forget it. And if you're not here to serve God today, what I say is going to be foolish to you. But if you're desiring to serve God, it is the strength and the power and the ability to be set free from many, many demonic powers. So this is the tools that we have to work with. Jesus came to set you free.
Yes.
He came to, and 1 John in chapter 3 and in verse 8, it says, He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil.
Yes, sir.
Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Manifested. He was seen. He was openly seen. What was the devil's works? Well, the devil's works are his deeds and his labor is how that word translates. And he has a lot of deeds that he's going to have to answer for when he stands at that judgment seat. The devil is not in hell yet, people. I hear people talk about the devil being in hell. He's never seen it yet. But one day, that's his home. He and all of his angels and his demons will be placed there. So this was his purpose. Now we know that in Psalms and 23rd Psalm, verse 3, you can quote that, I'm sure. But, for benefit of those that didn't memorize the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. And verse 3, He restoreth my soul. Why does your soul need restoring? What on earth is he talking about? What is the soul? What is the soul? The soul consists of mainly the mind, the will, and the emotions. That's the three main parts of the soul. Why would that need restoring? Well, we would have to preach here for another 2 hours probably to get you through fragmented souls and how the devil steals part of your soul. But he comes in, and this is where he comes to, and he covers a part of it or takes away, however he does it. I've never been able to look in there and find out what he did. But he destroys a part of it that is not usable anymore to you, and he replaces it with himself, and it sounds just like you. Everything he tells you out of your mind is going to sound like, that was my thought. I thought that up, and I'm going to do this because it's of me, and what I do is good. And the devil's sitting up here talking to you all the time. It's called a counselor. It's called a false prophet. And he'll sit there and he'll prophesy to you. Oh, he will prophesy wonderful things to you that are all lies. And he'll counsel you that'll get you in more trouble than you can get out of in years. So he's coming in here, and that's why your soul needs a restoration. There are others. I won't go into the other scriptures that talk about this, but there are others. And it is, I'm going to say this. This is, who restores your soul? The Lord. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Which one did it? Got you, didn't I? Well, I'd like to say Jesus did it. Jesus restores my soul. Because, how many gods have we?
Just one.
We've got one. Isn't Jesus God?
Yes.
Isn't the Holy Spirit God?
Yes.
Isn't Jehovah the Father God?
Yes.
Well, now, if that's true, who created, who was the creator? Tell me somebody. God. Which God?
Jesus.
Which name?
Jesus.
No. Read Hebrews. Hebrews is going to tell you that Jesus created. It was the Son that did the creation in the person of the Son. Still one God now. We are still only have one God. But it was Jesus, as the Bible says, was the creator. He created all things. And he's the one that creates enough in you to get you set free. The bondage that hits you, that stops you from serving God, Jesus will set you free.
Amen.
Jesus will set you free. So, one God, 1 Timothy 2:5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. One God. But we see him in these three works that he does.
Three dimensions.
Right. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but still one God. Also, in Deuteronomy in the 6th chapter, there is another one that talks about the one. I want to read that to you just in passing. So let you know that we've got three witnesses here on this. 6, verse 4 says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. But I love the next verse. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. What is the heart? What is the heart? Somebody answer me. Wrong.
Right. Right.
Partial. Occasionally it uses. The heart and the soul are the same word.
Yes.
Heart and soul.
Soul comes to the mind.
Right. And it is the same word. They're both the same word. It's translated one time heart. It's translated another time spirit.
Yes,
I'm a big part. Soul. It's translated the second time soul. Now there's another word for spirit that sometimes is translated heart. But more likely, every time that you look, in fact, if you'll get your concordance and look at heart and soul, you'll find that they have the same number all the way down, pages of it. And that, I thought, just like my sister here, I thought when you said heart, it was talking about my,
this that pumps blood.
No, my spirit man, my spirit, my inner man here, the spirit. But when I looked that up, I found out, hey, it's this one up here.
Yes.
And there's a great distance between here and here. Oh, that's a mighty distance. I put the word here, and the devil will take it away from me. But if I put it down here, he is not going to touch it. And that word, when I need it, is going to come back out here. If it's down here. But if it's up here, it's not necessarily so, because he can steal it up here. This is why it's so important to protect yourself. And to get rid of these things that are harassing you in your soul, because that is where he controls you, and that is your control. So this is most important. Another familiar scripture, Matthew 4, verse 10, and you know that one very surely when I tell you. Then said Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And you know that was when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness after he was baptized in the Jordan River and spent 40 days in the wilderness and Satan came to him. He always comes when we are at our lowest point. 40 days of fasting will make you low. Your body has depleted all of its energy to survive, and now it's ready for food again after 40 days. It has to have. Not too many people fast 40 days, but you can fast 40 days. But it's ready for food again after that. And Jesus, you know, he told him to take the stone and make it bread so he could fulfill the need of the body. And he told him what again? It is written. This is why we fight the devil.
He could have done it.
He could have done it. He would have trusted in his Father, and he would have spoken, and his Father would have answered him. I maintain Jesus lay aside his deity when he came here. He did not come as God. Jesus came as man. It has nothing to do with this preaching today, but since we got on this, I think it's important that we know that Jesus came here, and you too can walk the walk that he walked, because he came as man, not as God, and he laid it aside. And only when he came back and appeared to the disciples after his crucifixion did he take on the nature of God again. Place your hand in my side and put your finger in the holes in my hands. It's what he told Thomas. And he walks through the walls, and there was no barriers to him. He was God then. But as he ministered on the earth, he was man. And you too can walk in the earth today. You have that power within you because he did it. You say, it's impossible. We sin every day. No, you don't have to sin. I know people tell you that, but you do not have to sin. We sin because within us, we desire, or we are controlled by something within us that makes us do that. And I'm trying to get rid of that thing today that makes you do that. That's the purpose of this today, is to get rid of that. And my brother, he causes infirmity that you cannot hear. Here, many times it is the devil working here that causes the infirmity. And while we're there, I'll tell you that Acts 10:38 is your scripture that you stand on to know that it is Satan at work. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Sickness is an oppression of the devil. In this case here, he's talking about, that's what he's saying, sickness is an oppression of the devil. And if we get rid of the devil, we can get rid of our sickness too. My God can do anything. I don't limit what my God can do. He also delivers 1 Samuel 7:3. I'll just run through that one right quick. But he is a deliverer. He was a deliverer even in that day. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if you do return to the Lord with all your hearts, and put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and to serve him only, he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Now that's their enemy. He'll deliver you out of the hand of your enemy if you with all of your heart seek to serve God. Serve. To do service unto my God. That is to hear his voice and be obedient to the voice. That is the service that he requires of us. So we still have room to work here. We have not arrived yet. We have a place that we have to yet go to be in, and where God called us. When I was young, I had an idea of salvation. When I got salvation, I was in. I had it. Salvation is the door. That's a door you walk through. Man, there is a long way between that door and that presence of God back there when I come to meet him. And I have to walk that walk, and to work out my salvation as I walk along this walk, down this path, and you and I both have to do it. Now, we have the power of God working for us now. We're not on our own. We say, Lord, I can't do that. No, you're right. You can't do it. It's impossible for you to walk that walk. But when you let God live within you, he can walk it in you. And it will. Your efforts can't do it, but God can. And when you submit yourself to my Heavenly Father, you will see the difference. I got a stake driven back yonder in Tennessee. Right here is the day of salvation. Satan, you take your hands off of me because I know when I met my God and when He saved me. And my life changed. Praise God, there is a change.
Amen.
And we don't have to go on the way we are. He'll change you.
Yes.
He will change you when you have completely made that decision that I want my God to be the Lord. Well, I'm not preaching salvation. I'm preaching about I'm going into salvation, getting it so we can walk into the salvation today. We think we're smart. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 19 tells us how what this good wisdom we have, what it's all about. 1:19 says, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world?" So our smarts count for nothing in God's economy and His spirit and His walk with Him. So, sure, we need an education. We need to know how to read and write and to communicate one with the other intelligently. But that is not what God is asking us to do to serve Him. Not get I know people that know this word. Almost had a lady that memorized the whole Gospel of John. Word for word. Could quote the Gospel of John. That was about 10 years ago. I doubt if she could quote you any chapter of it today. But she memorized it. And wisdom is not where it's at. It got up here, but it didn't get down here. That's right. Absolutely. Brother Bill's showing us the bottom of his foot there. You're going to have to walk it. You're going to have to walk this walk. That's where it's at. And if something is hindering you here in your mind, you can't walk it because he is harassing you continually. And he starts very slightly, but it increases more and more. And I have people that I deal with that I can attest to this and tell you that this is how he works. He does this. And pretty soon he gets you to the point that you turn your back completely on God. It doesn't matter. It doesn't mean a thing to you anymore. The Word of God won't. I've seen people that have done this. So, praise God, I've seen some that have turned completely around the other way, though, and are coming and walking with my Lord now. I want to show you a scripture that tells you about it. Acts 5. Ananias, remember Ananias? Well, they had this plan. He and his wife had this plan. But in verse 3 is the only one I'm going to use. But Peter said to Ananias, "Why has Satan filled thine soul?" It says heart here, doesn't it? But it's a soul. "Why has he filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost to keep back part of the price of the land?" Well, if heart and soul is the same word, he's filled your soul. Your soul, your mind, your will. Here. And his will was affected, was it not? He kept back part of that land. He said, now, I don't know if you know how this works, but the year of Jubilee, everything returns back to the original owner. So if he sold that land, that's what he's talking about. Was it not in your power? It's still coming back to you. Why do you keep part of the price back? That's what Peter was saying to Ananias, because the land would come back to him in the year of Jubilee. It would be his again. And even though he had sold it, it had to be returned back to him. So he said, you're lying to the Holy Ghost. You aren't lying to me. You're not lying to man. But he filled. What I wanted you to see was he filled his heart. His heart, his soul. He came into this part here. This is where he came in. Now, if that was just one scripture, well, we would stop there. But there's a lot of others. Look at Luke 22. There's another one there. Verse 3. Then entered Satan into Judas Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. Where'd he enter in? Well, if he entered in his stomach, that wouldn't have affected him here to make a decision up here. He entered in here. He entered into his mind. And what did Judas do? He said, I'm going to sell him out. He's beside himself. He needs somebody to take care of him. That's what his thought was at the beginning. And then he discovered that he had committed treason against the Lord and had sold him out, his life out. And he went and hung himself. But his mind had been affected. And he one of the men, one of the 12, not the inner circle as we spoke of, and I appreciate that. I love that inner circle teaching you gave this morning. But of the 12 disciples, one that had walked with him, lo, these 3 years, approximately three and a half years, and had been with him, close to him, and listened to his teaching, and seen his life, sold him. So here is Satan at work again. And you say, well, he can't touch me. Well, look at the people that I've just talked about, the people that he touched.
Yes.
And we too are... Oh, well, let me give you another one. Right in that same chapter, there's something here I want you to see. Drop down. No, it's not in this chapter. Yeah, 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Now, years ago, I really wondered, what does a sift mean? What is he talking about? You ladies know what sifting is. I remember my mother and her old flour sifter that you cranked around, you know, and it had a screen in the bottom, and it would bring out real fine flour under the bottom. When you got through, you had little knots left up in there, and you'd take them and dump them. You'd separate. And that's what Satan is doing. He's separating. He's separating you from your God. That's his purpose. Satan wanted to sift. He wanted to sift Peter. He wanted to separate that was good in Peter and to put in that which was bad so that Peter would walk with Satan rather than with God. And that's why he spoke this thing here that Satan desires to sift you. But he went on and praised God for that next verse. But I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. We know that he was converted. We know that he denied him 3 times. And yet the Lord, look what a man Peter became, even after the denial. So if there's hope for us and our denial of the Lord, we too deny him. We go against his word. We know the word, and yet we do not do the word. And God's told us and commanded us to be obedient. So this is where we are today. And we need that obedience in our life that we may truly serve our God. Ephesians in the 6th chapter, most of you can quote it. There's nothing new under the sun. He's doing the same thing over and over again. So we have to battle him over and over again. We use many scriptures over and over again. But in verse 12 it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, heavenly places, in the heavens, in the atmosphere above the earth, in that heaven. Satan does not enter back into God's heaven out at that point, wherever, how far out that is. Your mind can't conceive of this universe, I don't believe. There is no way that you can think how big it is. There's light coming to you that the stars went out millions of years ago, I understand. Or at least thousands of years. I don't know the figure. I'm not trying to lie to you. But those stars went out and that light is still coming. That's those stars twinkling in heaven at night. And that's still that light traveling. It was so far away. It is impossible. There is no way you could possibly make a scale model of the universe. If you put the earth at the smallest thing, the size of the earth is the smallest thing you could do here on this table, the rest of this stuff would be completely out of the room, some of it a half a mile away down yonder, so you could not scale it in proportion to where it would be accurate in proportion. That's how big this universe is. My God made that. My Jesus spoke it. He just spoke it out there. It's there. And it says that by him all things consist. He's still holding it there by his word. He talks about it in Hebrews. I think it's the 1st chapter. By the word of his power. It's his word that does this. This is how strong the word is. He's holding all this together. And we and I wonder if a demon's going to move if we use the word of God. And Jesus is holding all of this together with his word. And if this thing got out of balance, this earth, just a very little bit, you'd either freeze to death or you'd be turned to toast. One of the two. If you change your distance from the sun, you'll get cold or you'll get hot, one or the other. If you get closer to the sun, you'll burn up. If you get away from the sun, you'll freeze to death. Now, that's what the God is doing by holding this rotation. My God's Word is powerful, let me tell you. I serve a powerful, mighty God. And He can do anything.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. Well, let's see, where else are we going to go? Matthew 16. Verse 22 says, "Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him." And this is Jesus he's rebuking. "And saying, Pity thyself, Lord, this shall not be unto you." But he turned, Jesus, turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." When he looked right square in Peter's eyes, he said, "Get behind me, Satan." When we minister deliverance, we look straight in the eye and we talk to a demon. That's what Jesus did. Only the demon was Satan this particular time. He was fooling with Jesus. It called for the real power against Jesus to get up there and work this time. And it was Satan. And he told him, he said, "Get thee behind me." And he was looking right square in Peter in his face when he spoke those things. So when we minister deliverance, we're not coming against the person. We're not speaking to the person. We're speaking to the demon in the person. And if you're going to ever minister deliverance, anybody here want to ever minister deliverance? Let's see your hand if there's any potential ministers here that are going to. Yes. When you minister deliverance, keep eye contact with people. Most people don't do this. But if you do, you put that demon down. He don't like to look in your eyes. If you're serving God, he surely don't want to look in your face. I don't know how it works that way, but it works. I've done it. And they don't like it. And when you look square in their eyes and you hold their attention and command them, "Look at me." "No. Look at me." They'll holler, "No. No, I don't want to look at you. Look at me. I see you." Got their hands over their face like this. "I see you." Well, spiritually they do see us. But if you'll make them look into your face, you put them down. And that's the whole purpose, is to get them down rather than yours. See, we need to get on the offensive. We've been on the defensive, and we've been warding off the attacks of the devil for so long, we think that's the only way we can do this. But we need to go after him. We need to attack Satan in his place. So, I skipped it back there in Ephesians, but it talks about going after the principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness in the heavenlies. And we need to go against those heavenlies and cut off that power, because there are where the rulers are up there. They've got their little army people down here working against you, but the headquarters is up there, and they're the ones that's giving the power and the word and what to do from up at that point. And if you'll cut off from the heavenlies, then you'll find that you have done a great work. And we've begun to see a difference when we started doing this again. You know, you get bogged down when you do something over and over again. And after the repetition of it, you kind of lose track of some of the things. And we need to refresh ourselves on it, because the business of making the person look into your eyes and cutting off the powers in the heavenlies are important, and we've kind of lost track of that. And I think we need to look at this again and realize that this is where we get our best results, is when we follow after these things and things that we found to work. I put in here an Exodus scripture. I'll quote it to you. It simply says, "Suffer a witch not to live." I have just talked to about we don't war against the person, not against the man, but against the demon. And then I turn around and say, "Suffer a witch not to live." A witch has totally turned herself over to David, to the devil, to be used by the devil. There is no redeeming thing about that witch. We've dealt with her. We had one that tore up our church, and we're still, I think, after 3 or 4 years, I don't know how many years, my wife probably could tell you, for a number of years, we're still fighting stuff that she's planted in that church. And she hadn't been in it since we found out for sure that she was not saved. That was the only reason we let her in the church. She said she was saved. And she was running from the coven of witches that she came from. But she lied. She came to destroy our church. And we're still fighting that. And the Lord says, "Suffer a witch not to live." He had no qualms about telling you that they had no redeeming value. And we should not become involved in any witchcraft. And fight it with everything that you have in you. I spoke to Joel today, and I told him to make a real concentrated effort to fight witchcraft over this camp. I think this witchcraft that is settled against this camp, and it is coming against this camp. So all of you pray for this camp, and when you do any type of deliverance prayer, you pray against the witchcraft over this camp. I'll go against Glenn and Irma and the camp itself and over all of its grounds, because the enemy would like to destroy this place. You know, when you got saved, I think Satan assigned a demon to you. When you were baptized in the Holy Ghost, I think he really wrote your name down, and he told somebody else to watch you all the time, to put some authority over you to kind of watch out for you. But when you started coming into a deliverance camp, he assigned the big boys to you, and you can expect to be under attack simply because you came here. Even though you're not under in deliverance, you were here. And he never knows when you're going to pick this message up, and you're going to carry it, and you're going to do some work. Now, that's not to give you any fear. That's to tell you that, hey, I have the Lord on my side, and I'm doing the right thing. And I am an overcomer over Satan. Now, the word overcomer, we preach on it all. What is we talking about? We're overcoming the devil. This is the thing that we have to overcome. We have to overcome Satan, and we have to do it here first. You've got to do it here, there, right there, in each one of you. You have to do it. You have to put him down, put him under your feet, and then work from there to help others. But until he's under your feet, that's the primary object of your life, is to get the devil under your feet and out of your life. Okay, that initial scripture, 2 Corinthians 10. Verse 5 says, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, really, what that thing is really saying is casting down imaginations and everything that exalts self. That exalts self. You are the most important thing in your life, in most cases. Don't you take care of self, first of all?
Yes, sir.
You adorn it. You clothe it. You powder it. You paint it. You take good care of it, don't you? Uh-huh. Yes. And you get it the very best that you can afford. You watch out for it. Right? Self has become the important part of our life. And the life we lead is a fleshly life too often, when it should be the spiritual life that we lead, serving our God by the Spirit, listening to the voice of the Lord, and being obedient to that voice when He speaks back to us. But we, as fleshly people, tend to serve self. I go to church. What can I get out of this? You see, this is the attitude today. Salvation. You know, I have considered this. Why is the church in the shape it's in? You say, well, my church is in good shape. Well, I pray that you're right. I really hope and sincerely pray that you're right. But so many people have received salvation here. They know the Word. They desire it. And they received it in their soul. But it never got transferred to their spirit man. And they work and with all of their power and all of their might to do the right thing, to even serve God in the best that I can, and God don't want you doing it by your strength and your power. He wants to do it through you. And He will only do it when He has entered into your spirit.
Yes.
And you become that spirit man, that son of God. Is the way. Now, that's not to say God doesn't bless you. I'm not talking about blessing. God blesses everybody. You breathe the air, you get the rain in season, and you enjoy the food, all of the general blessing. But I'm talking about how we deal personally with God. And He tells us here in this last scripture that I read, that our thoughts get us in trouble. Cast down imaginations. That's your thoughts up here. The things that come in mind. Well, where'd they come from? Where'd these thoughts come from? Well, there are two sources available to you and I. You say there's three. Self. Well, self has got to receive from one side or the other, hadn't he? Doesn't he have to receive the good from the Lord and the bad from the devil for you to make a decision? Now, where did it come from? Well, it sounds so good. Well, do you think Satan came in with a red underwear and a tail on his and horns on his head?
No, sir.
And I'm going to know Satan because he's got on a gun on a red union suit.
Yeah.
He's got horns on his head, and he's got a long pointed tail. And I'll know him every time I see him. No, he's going to come in and the way that you least expect Satan to come in. And once he gets here, he's going to put some thoughts up here in your mind. We have a girl in our church. We've been dealing with her for 9 years. I came over here and I asked people after a year and a half or 2 years, what on earth did you do? We don't make any progress getting this thing set free. I went to Wynn Whirley. I talked to Wynn. I talked to Wynn's ministers, first in charge minister up there he had. I talked to several of his younger ministers and asked them. Nobody had any answers. And we're still dealing with this girl. When she came to us, she heard voices continually. They never stopped, always talking in her ear. Sitting and beat her head, just like this. Just only she hit it. She hits her head. She wouldn't go to the bathroom and close the door. And the bathroom was not one sealed off in our church. We were a storefront church. But she wouldn't even close the door. She would have had so much fear. Now, that's the girl that came to us. Now, she's fighting. She don't hear voices. She lives alone. She has a job, a very good job. She answers the phone for a large company. She's a receptionist for a large company. In fact, it's an international company. And answers the phone for them. She's a very intelligent girl. And she's a good deliverance worker. And she's fighting to get rid of what's left in her. And you ought to watch her fight sometimes. It is a joy to see someone who has been in this shape, who was so fearful, that would fight so hard to hold on to the demons that were in her, to come now and fight to get rid of them. My God can do anything. He can turn anybody around that's willing to be turned around. If demons control your mind, how can I get rid of demons? I don't know of anybody that is completely under the control of demons. I know that they harass people. But they're not complete. If you're completely under, you're locked away somewhere. You're in a nursing home or some type of a home that controls you. You have lucid moments, even though this girl had lucid moments even when she came to us, when she was not under the control of that demon for short periods of time. In those periods of time, you are going to have to learn to fight. You're going to have to take advantage of what's in you, the desire to be set free. You're going to have to learn. I said it before, I'll say it again. I cannot set you free. Only God can set you free. Only God will set you free when you have learned to make a decision that I'm going to serve Him. I want to serve you, Lord, and I want to be your child. And you're going to have to work toward that. We're going to have some deliverance here in just a minute, and you're going to have to work. I'm going to call them, but you're going to have to desire. You're not going to talk out loud. Am I through? No. I got one more scripture. I'm going to quit with one more before I start giving you instruction. Matthew 18, in verse 18. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That's one of your greatest tools that you have. I would go and tell you some stories about how we've used it, but time's run out. You need to bind. And you say, well, how do you bind? You have authority. I've already told you that I started with that. You have authority. God gave you the authority in His Word. Your very speaking it forth. You know, Satan can't read your mind. Only when you open your mouth does he know what's going on. If he could read your mind, you would never win over Satan. He would counterattack any thought you had. But until you open your mouth, he is unaware of what's going on down inside of you. When you speak, and you're using the Word of the Lord, and the authority of the Lord behind you, it is just the same as Jesus speaking. That He gave you that right and that authority. I give you authority to tread over serpents and over scorpions and over all of the power of the enemy. Didn't He say that? Luke 10:19 gave it to us right there. And you have authority. Now you bind. I bind you Name him, Satan, demon, whatever you're binding, and don't be afraid to go after Satan himself. In the name, that's how you bind, in the name of Jesus, of the Lord Jesus, however you want to place it, but Jesus, you got Jesus is the name. Jesus is the authority. Jesus is the one you use. In the name of Jesus, I bind your strength, your power, your ability, whatever you're going after, you bind. You need to loose. You need to learn to loose also. I loose him from people sometimes. I tell them, I loose you out of that person. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I break your authority. I destroy the power of your authority. And I loose you. So, binding and loosing is the authority that we use when we're in deliverance. Now, I started to tell you, I'm going to call demons off and out, flat on the floor with your feet, no crossed legs, no crossed hand, no clenched fist. These are signs of rebellion and signs of demonic power. You don't talk. You don't pray. Down within you, inside of you, you keep thinking you've got to go, whatever I'm calling. If you're in there, you've got to go. You can't stay in me. I'm a child of God. You have no right to me. You think these thoughts, but you don't talk them. And they'll hear you. You keep working at him that way, and you give him no... You cut off all of his ability to move. And he'll get tired of it in a few minutes, and he'll want to go somewhere. Now, the way demons move, usually you'll see yawns, coughing, spitting, even throwing up to that point. I've heard people say they come out your eyes and your ears. I don't know. The word spirit is pneuma in the Greek, P-N-E-U-M-A. It means spirit. It means breath, wind, and they move. That's the way they move. And so they'll move usually through your mouth. Usually that's the way you will see a spirit move. And a yawn, a cough, or in that manner. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I bind to my authority every spirit in the sound of my voice. I take authority over them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I cut off the powers from the heavenlies and the principalities and rulers in the name of the Lord Jesus that they'll not receive strength. I ask, Father, that you surround us with your power and your love and a hedge round about that nothing shall break through to give strength to any demon here in this place. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I ask you, Father, to remove anything that is giving power here now in Jesus' name. Give us authority, Lord, to move these demons out of these people this day. Set them free, Lord. Those that desire to be set free, we just thank you for moving in their life this day. We praise you and we thank you. Amen and amen. You want to be set free? I call off the spirits of evil imagination. Evil imagination in the name of Jesus. Self-exaltation. Self-exaltation. That unbelief. All that unbelief I cast out. I cast out spirits of unbelief. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I take authority over unbelief. And I command you, loose this people in the name of the Lord Jesus. All the unbelief. In the name of Jesus. Rebellion. All the rebellion. I command you to go. Go in the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out. Spirits of rebellion. Loose them and come out. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Let them go. Let them go in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Rebellion. All the rebellion. Come out. Come out. Stubbornness. Spirits of stubbornness and hatred. Provocation. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Wickedness and wrath. All the strife, spirits of strife, anger, come out, come out. Oppression, oppression and strife and anger, let them go, let them go. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Come out in Jesus' name. I call pride out, that haughty pride, that spirit of haughtiness and pride in the name of Jesus. Let them go, let them go. Come on out, come on out. Tommy did a wonderful teaching on this and cast a part of this out. There's still parts left. Come on out, pride. Pride, you've got to go. You've got to go. In the name of Jesus, let them go. Let them go. The Lord rebuke you. Spiritual pride. Pride, you have no place in God's people. I take authority over you in Jesus' name. Foolishness, I cast out spirit of foolishness in the name of the Lord Jesus. Vanity, all the vanity, come out, come out. Pride of life. That pride of life, come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hypocrisy. Hypocrisy, come out, come out. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord, Jesus rebuke you. Spiritual wickedness in Jesus' name. A spirit of doubt. Doubt, come out in Jesus' name. I take authority over that, those spirits that, cause doubt in you. In the name of the Lord Jesus, all that doubt, come out in Jesus' name. I break your power, I destroy your power in each one here in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I cast you out in the name of the Lord Jesus, all the spirits of doubt. I cast out depression in the name of Jesus, all those spirits of depression. Depression has to go. And any suicide that hung on after depression, you've got to go. Spirits of suicide, come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Despair. All despair. Hopelessness. Spirits of hopelessness and despair. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Resentment. Spirits of resentment. Come on out. Come on out. Resentment. Come out in Jesus' name. Let them go. Let them go. The Lord rebuke you. Spirits of death. Death. I cast out that spirit of death, early death, in the name of the Lord Jesus. God promised his believers 120 years. I cast out death, death, in the name of Jesus. You've got to go. Let them go. In the name of Jesus, I'll not allow you to stay any longer. And by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, I cast that spirit of death out. Come out. Come out. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Loose them. Loose them and come out. I call off that spirit of death that's working. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. No, come out. Come out in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Let them go. Delusions. Spirit of delusions. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. I come against jealousy. Spirit of jealousy. In the name of Jesus. I break the power of that ungodly spirit. In Jesus' name. Jealousy. I command you to loose these people. Loose everyone. Loose them and come out. Jealousy. Spirits of jealousy. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Brooding. Brooding spirits, resentful spirits, bitterness, all the bitterness in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, strong delusion in the name of Jesus. That doctrine of devils, I cast out that doctrine of devils. Come out in Jesus' name. All that counseling he's done you, I can't cast out that counselor. The counselor, in the name of Jesus, that one that whispers in your ear and counsel you with false counseling, come out in Jesus' name. The false prophet, that false prophet has to go too, in the name of Jesus, the one that prophesies to your mind, to your soul, in the name of Jesus, false prophet, come out in Jesus' name, let him go, in the name of Jesus. A reprobate mind, I cast out a reprobate mind spirit, in the name of Jesus. Cast out a spirit of lunacy. Lunacy in the name of Jesus. Jesus. A seared conscience. A seared conscience I cast out in the name of Jesus. Unrighteousness. Unrighteousness. I command you to go. You spirit of unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. You have no right in God's people. The Word declares you have no place in God's people. And I command you, unforgiveness, unforgiveness. Loose them and come out. Loose them and let them go in the name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Loose them and come out. Unforgiveness, unforgiveness. You have no place here. In the name of Jesus. All the unforgiveness. You got to go. You got to go in the name of Jesus. I call that spirit of deafness out. Spirit of deafness. I break your hold in my brother in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I come against you in the mighty name of Jesus and I come declare that you have no place in this house. Now come out of him in Jesus' name. Loose his ears in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Loose his ears, demon. Come out of him in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We'll pray for you later too, brother. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Maliciousness. Maliciousness and envy. Envy. Come out. Come out. In Jesus' name. Maliciousness. Envy. Root of bitterness. Root of bitterness. Come out. Come out. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Root of bitterness. Root of bitterness. Spirits of deceit. Deceit. In the name of Jesus. Let them go. Let them go. Let them go. In the name of Jesus. Deceit. A double-minded spirit. Double-mindedness. Come out. Come out. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes double-minded spirits. Spirits of little faith. Little faith. Come out. Come out. Come out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Spirits of little faith. A backbiting spirit. Backbiting spirit. Come out. Come out. In Jesus' name. in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let her go. Let him go in the name of Jesus. Backbiter. The backbiter in Jesus' name. Senility. Spirit of senility, come out. Come out. The hater of God. The hater of God. Come on out of there. Come out. Move. Move in Jesus' name. You have no place. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Haters of God. Haters of God. Let them go. Let them go. Confusion. Spirit of confusion. Let them go. Boasting. Spirit of boasting. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Evil works. Evil works. Come out. Spirit of evil works. Covenant breakers. Covenant breakers. That spirit that makes you break your covenant with the Lord God. Come out. Come out. Come out. It is Jesus that commands you. In the name of Jesus, I command you. You covenant breaker spirit. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Come on out. Come on out. Covenant breaker. Covenant breaker. I want to go back to that double-minded spirit. Double-minded spirit. In the name of Jesus, let them go. Let them go. The double-minded spirit. Come out. Come out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Evil thoughts. Evil thoughts. Come out. Come out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, it's those spirit of evil thoughts. Malice. Spirit of malice. Come out. Come out. Rejection. Rejection. The Lord rebuke you. The spirit of rejection has to go. Self-pity. Self-pity. Come on out. Self-pity. In Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Self-pity. What did Jesus say when Peter said, "Pity thyself, Lord"? He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." I command that spirit of self-pity to go. Self-pity. Come out. Come out. You have no place in God's people. My God protects us and watches over us. Self-pity has to go. Self-pity. Loose them and come out. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes the spirit of self-pity. Jealousy again. I command jealousy to come out. Depression again. Worry. Spirits of worry. Worry. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Spirits of worry. Inferiority. Spirits of inferiority. Come out. Come out. Insecurity. Insecurity. Come out. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Mental torment. Mental torment. Procrastination. Procrastination. Come on out. Come on out. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Procrastination. Indecision. Spirits of indecision. Come on out. Come on out in the name of Jesus. Compromise. Spirits of compromise. Let them go. Let them go in the name of Jesus. Jesus. The Lord rebukes compromise. Compromise. You have no place. You have no place in God's family. Compromise. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Rationalization. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Loss of memory. Loss of memory. Spiritual wickedness. A false gospel. A false gospel. I cast out the false gospel. Self-will. A spirit of self-will. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Self-will. Deceiving spirits. Deceiving spirits. Let them go. Let them go. Come on out. Come out. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes the deceiving spirits. Madness. Madness. Lying spirits. Lying spirits and madness. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Jesus. Let them go. Let them go in the name of Jesus. I want to call out some sickness spirits now. We've covered the mind spirits. I see so many people carrying pills, trusting in man rather than into the Lord. And we walk in sickness so much of the time. I break that cancer off of you in the name of Jesus. I curse cancer. I curse the spirit of cancer in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I command the spirit of cancer to go. Cancer, you have no place here. Cancer, come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. High blood pressure. High blood pressure and low blood pressure. I command those spirits of high and low blood pressure out. In Jesus' name. Diabetes. Diabetes, come out. Come on out. Come on out. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Diabetes. Diabetes. Leukemia. Spirits of leukemia. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Leukemia. Kidney failure. Kidney disease. Come out. I break the power of kidney failure and kidney disease. Arthritis. I cast out a spirit of arthritis. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over that painful arthritis and I command it to go. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Spirits of swelling. Swelling. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Fluid in the body. Excess fluid in the body. Come out. Come out. Tumors. I cast out a spirit that caused tumors. I cast out a spirit of AIDS. AIDS. No, you've got to go. I don't care how strong you are. AIDS is under the word of God. It has to go. My God can do anything. Let them go. Let them go. AIDS. AIDS. I break your hold and I command you to go. Gallstones. Kidney stones. I cast out that spirit that caused gallstones and kidney stones. Let them go. Let them go. I cast out the spirit of stroke. Heart attack. Stroke. In the name of Jesus, I cast out blindness. Blindness in the name of the Lord Jesus. I cast out spirits of blindness. That spirit that causes us to wear glasses. In the name of Jesus. We hadn't overcome him yet, but we're moving. We're still going. And we'll put him under our feet. Spirits of blindness. Blindness. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Spirits of deafness. Deafness. You've got to go. Deafness. You can't stay. In the name of Jesus, I cast out headaches. Headaches, migraine headaches, all types of headaches. Headaches can't stay. Backaches, backaches. Lameness, lameness in the name of Jesus. Ulcers, I cast out a spirit of ulcers in the name of Jesus. Jesus, sores, sores in the name of Jesus. Come out, come out. Spirit of pain, spirit of pain. Let them go, let them go. All the pain, all types of pain. Loose them and come out. Loose them and come out. Pains. Pains in the name of Jesus. Again, I come against that spirit of death. Spirit of death. I break your hold. I destroy your power in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, death has to go. Loose them and come out. Spirit of death. Death. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. All the spirits of infirmity. All spirits of infirmity. Loose them. Loose them and let them go. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Come out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let rest of us, let's stand. Heavenly Father, we thank you for deliverance. We thank you for setting some people free from some things that have bothered them this day. In the name of Jesus. Father, we believe your word to be true. And we believe those spirits have to go. In the name of the Lord Jesus, they have to go. Now, I bind everything that's left in every person here. I bind those spirits up that they'll not harass. In the name of Jesus, I bind the spirit of backlash and retaliation that would come against you in the days to come for having been in deliverance in the name of the Lord Jesus. I take authority over those spirits of backlash and retaliation. I ask, Father, that you cleanse our church, that you'll take out every spirit that came out. Carry them to the pit. Bind them there in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, fill us afresh and anew right now. Fill every person here. Oh, Father, do a work right now in each one of us. Those places that were vacated by demonic powers, Father, move in right now. Let us receive you at this moment, Lord, in all of your glory and all of your love and all of your power, Lord. We praise you. We magnify your name. Now, we thank you for all that you've done. We give you the glory in Jesus' name.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.